Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two, it's Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to Jeff Passan and all the latest Red Sox rumors, but I was going through the full Don Van Natta story in the last break. There's a lot that I forgot about with Belichick and Kraft.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember you brought up the Dynasty, Apple TV. Bill was obviously pissed about that.
Yeah, it went sideways.
Bill is pissed because Kraft talked him to Arthur Blank and pretty much talked him out of hiring Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, which I remembered. I kind of forgot about the story, Keith, where Kraft, and I forget the outlet, and this is all detailed in Van Natta's latest. It's a recap. It might have been his own report. But Kraft said he took a risk in hiring Belichick.
Yeah, that was then, on the Breakfast Club, wasn't it?
Is that what it was?
Maybe.
So. I think that's the same time he said he had to fire him.
Yes, like he let that out. He's rather than the mutually parted ways.
We didn't mutually part. I fired him.
you're off script.
I took a big risk in hiring him. And Bill goes, well, actually, I'm the one who took the big risk in going to New England. It was a trash franchise.
Yeah,
and, don't spend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way. And I had to make that work. And so some stuff in there I kind of forgot about. But anyway, here's some new reporting from Van Natta on Belichick and Kraft both advancing in the Hall of Fame process. They're both finalists. And they're going against Ken Anderson and Roger Craig and somebody
else. LC Greenwood.
Is that who it was?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
He might get in this year.
We've been waiting. We've been clamoring for LC Greenwood to get in there.
He's got my vote.
So let me just read this quick, and then we get to the Sox. While sources with knowledge of the voting process told ESPN that Kraft's fate with the 50 Hall of Fame voters is far from certain, they say Belichick is believed to be a favorite for induction. His NFL coaching record of 333-178, including playoffs, second all-time, only to Don Shula's 347. Two 9-member committees, one for coaches, the other for contributors, selected Kraft and Belichick for consideration by the Hall voters next month. If both Belichick and Kraft win 80% of the total vote, the two men would be inducted side by side in Canton next summer.
Incredible.
Quote from a veteran Hall of Fame voter on Tuesday night. You could have a delicious moment where Kraft and Belichick get bussed together.
Nice.
I'd pay a lot of money to watch that. How awkward would that be?
It'd be so awkward, and it'd be incredible. It'd be good theater.
That's almost better, than one of them like getting left out and having to be jealous of the other. Right. They both get in and have to share the dais together.
Because at first, when this whole process was playing out, I was like, oh, there's only one, and so Bill is going to prevent Robert from getting in once again. And we've both maintained this for a long time, but just to clarify again, owners, really, in my mind, shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but if you are going to put them in, then yes, Robert Kraft should be. Bill Belichick obviously should be a Hall of Famer, so Bill's going to get in the first crack for whatever reason, number of different reasons, and we've gone over them in years past, grudges, whatever it might be. Robert Kraft hasn't gotten in. But for him to get in the same year as Bill, he'd be happy that he's in, don't get me wrong. But how pissed would he be to have to share the day with Belichick?
Okay, well, he would act fake nice, though.
He'd want the smile and the photos.
He would do what he did at the Brady roast, where he'd act like they're all good.
I'm talking about for real.
Or at his at the Belichick firing press conference.
Yeah.
He would act nicey-nice. Bill wouldn't do anything.
Or the roast. Remember he tried to like hug him at the roast to Tom Brady, and Bill's like,
let's do a shot.
Yeah. Get out of my face.
Bill was ready to throw it in his face.
Correct.
So
Bill will have a harder time being fake about it. Robert 100% will take a photo, and he'll be able to frame that photo and put it up. And like, see, no hard feelings. But deep down, he'd be like, I got to share the day with this guy?
And I think he would be seating greater than 50% of the spotlight.
Plus,
right?
Bill
would get almost all of the discussion about that, and Kraft would be a footnote, which he really would have an issue with. Yes.
Big time, because then it'd be like, Robert Kraft, you finally get in, and like, the main reason you're in is because you had this guy, you know, and then it would be pretty amazing. And you wonder if some of these voters, because they all have their own, you know, vendettas or whatever else. Oh. I wonder if part of them are like, you know what? This is what's going to happen. You know what? We are going to vote you in this year, but along with Bill.
Screw you two.
Yeah, right. You guys deserve each other.
You guys are going in together.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Bill thinks that's way beneath. Like, Bill.
Bill's like, why are the owners even in here, probably?
Well, but I agree with Belichick.
I do too.
Like, it's like, Kraft had borderline nothing to do with the dynasty. He owns the team.
Yeah.
And he didn't really spend on it. Borderline nothing to do with it. Look, that's harsh. He's the one who brought in Bill. But, like, if you're ranking them, it's Brady by a mile, then it's Belichick by a mile,
yeah.
And then it's Kraft third.
Yep, and then Wiggy.
Fourth. Wiggy would be fourth for me. Yeah.
Snowball.
Good text here, 617-779-7937. Can you imagine the content you guys would get from Jordan at the Hall of Fame induction?
Oh, my God.
And will she
also
sit,
that, too.
Will she sit next to Jonathan?
I don't know. But, yeah, add that little layer to it. I haven't even thought of that.
Just her, to use Vrabel's word, prancing around. At the Hall of Fame.
Would Brady go down to induct both of them?
Good question.
I mean, he might.
She is my muse, my flame.
What do you have to pick?
I think Jordan would induct Bill. Jordan gets up there and starts reading from her Adobe Photoshop.
That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
She jumps in front of Steve.
Yeah. Just written by ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, when Bill won his first Super Bowl, I was told about it because I wasn't alive, but.
Yeah, I heard about it.
I heard good things.
My parents, who were much younger than him, told me about it.
Yeah.
Because each voter can select only three finalists, multiple sources among the voters say it's possible, maybe even probable, Belichick could get elected but not Kraft, or vice versa.
Yeah, but how many votes do you get?
You can only vote for three. So you get, out of the five, every voter can only vote for three.
Okay. But, like, some maybe will only vote for one or two.
Correct. You can vote to up to three. So some voters may say, I'm only voting for one. I'm only voting for two. I'm voting for neither of these guys because of their cheating or whatever, which is stupid. Last year, Kraft was seen as a favorite but was snubbed by the Contributors Committee, which selected NFL co-founder Ralph Hay. I mean, that was dumb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That decision enraged many of Kraft's supporters among Hall of Fame voters, including Bill Polian, Peter King, and Sal Pal.
Oh, Palantonio.
So we're naming names here.
Yeah.
King, Polian, and Sal Pal. Why are they so...
They're upset.
...favorable and biased towards Kraft?
By the way, so the three other guys that are on there that could prevent one of them from getting in. So LC Greenwood was on the Steel Curtain defense for the Steelers. I feel like that entire Steelers team is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And so he's not. So what happens is... This is not just contributors. It's also like a senior committee. So that's why, like, Roger Craig, everybody knows who... Like... So it's not just coaches against coaches and owners against owners and, like, whatever else. So you do have a couple of players that maybe could sneak in there. He's a four-time Super Bowl champion, six-time Pro Bowler, all-decade 1970s team.
He's
on the all-time Steelers team.
All due respect. I didn't even know where he played. All due respect. You're not in yet. You probably missed your window on that one, is what I would say.
I would tend to agree, but, like, I also didn't think Ralph Hay was going to get in last year.
But that was also stupid.
That was dumb. But I'm just saying, there is precedent for stupidity, therefore, you know, it might be Ken Anderson and Roger Craig. Belichick, to me, is a 100% in. I think every single guy is going to vote for Belichick. I don't know about Kraft because he's been held out this long. This is Belichick's first crack. Like, to your point of those other guys, they've all had an opportunity to get in except for Bill.
Kraft has been at it for 14 years campaigning. Yeah. He's never even been a finalist.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a sign that he's going to get in or if that's just a sign that it's been working against him and now the Bill's on the ballot. He's going to have to keep waiting.
I know.
But it would be great to see them go in together. I hadn't considered that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Just going off Breer a month or so ago, he's like, it's pretty much going to come down to one spot. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I don't know how the voting is going to play out. But it sounds like Bill has the leg up for sure. 617-779-7937. We'll get some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday, 11:30. We have the hashtag Dorkman at 11:45 and Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon talking Celtics. I'll break down the X's and O's.
You were there.
I don't know if I mentioned this today. I was in the building.
Did you sit with Terp?
Did I bring that up? No. Oh. I saw him. If I borrowed your binoculars from training camp, I could have seen him down there.
Oh, yeah, because you were up high.
It was a night higher up in the stands than last time I went.
Did you get an altitude headache?
No. Well, almost. I was pretty lightheaded when my Jordan Walsh bet cashed.
Ooh.
I got to be honest. Betting on some of these guys.
Did you get over 5 points?
I bet him 4-6 rebounds.
6 boards. Yeah. Jordan Walsh, six board game.
Parlayed that with a Josh Minot three. Easy money on the Minot.
Oh, you're stealing.
I was sweating out Walsh, though. It was a
lawnmower three.
If you went back and rewatched the game, you could hear two men shrieking in the 300s when Walsh grabbed a six rebound. You could easily hear it.
Whatever gets you into the game.
So we'll get to that with Terp at high noon. All your phone calls, 617-779-7937. On the Red Sox, Keith. Well, we have this right off the bat. I like getting your guy, Jim Bowden.
Ralph. Yeah.
He says the most likely landing spots for Pete Alonso are the Red Sox and Mets.
Woo!
So that's promising.
Pete Alonso, the polar bear, almost a perfect fit.
And don't you kind of think he's done with New York?
Yeah, because they didn't give him the big extension last year or a new contract last year.
And you're going to have to pay him. I mean, yeah. I'm not telling you he's coming here on a discount, but I think all things being equal, I feel like he's kind of done with
it. Plus, if you're Pete Alonso and they just gave Juan Soto over $700 million and they're like fighting over whatever it is with him, I would be like, all right, I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, again, all things
being
equal.
Now, the Mets have money and the Mets do spend, so like if you're getting into a bidding war with them and they really want him, I mean, they might go higher than the Red Sox are willing to go, but... Yeah, maybe he just wants out of there. Maybe he's like, all right, I've done this. I've been on the Mets for a long time now. Let me try somewhere else.
And they haven't wanted to pay me. They've had their opportunities to pay me. So, again, all things being equal, you have to pony up the money. You're not going to get him on a discount. If the Mets blow you out of the water, he'll go back there. But if it's really down to the Red Sox and the Mets, I honestly like the Red Sox chances there. Right. And I know the tracker record with John Henry. I know it. But I like their chances there if your guy Ralph, the Twitter egg, is right. Meanwhile, Jeff Passan yesterday had the top 25 trade candidates heading into the winter meetings.
Okay,
Keith.
I like this. Different list than the free agents. We all know the free agents at this point, so who are the trade candidates? Okay. You need a little bit more sourcing for this. This isn't just like, let me pull up the free agents. This
no,
is
it's
like,
true.
Who might actually
you
got
to talk to people around Good. The league. So what he does, Keith, is he ranks them 1 to 25 with some honorable mentions, and he gives you a percentage they get traded.
Okay, I like that.
And potential teams they could get traded to.
Good stuff. Good exercise.
There are Red Sox targets on this list and Red Sox trade away candidates. Which would you like first?
Give me the trade away candidates. I assume I know who they are, but give me those guys first.
It's Duran,
yeah.
Abreu, Casas, 7, 13, and an honorable mention.
Huh.
He has Duran at a 50% chance of moving, Abreu at a 50% chance of moving, and very similar teams they could get dealt to. The Tigers, the Giants, the Pirates, the Phillies, the Mets, the Royals.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of overlap. There's a few different teams on there, but there's a lot of overlap. The interesting note on Duran, real quick,
mm-hmm.
he says the Red Sox are valuing Duran more like a 7-win player of 2024 than his 4-win version of 2025, his WAR stat.
Yep.
So basically, he's saying
they're asking for a lot.
They're overvaluing him. And
that can change.
His name has come up. Alex Speer had a report over the weekend. Cole Reagans, my pick for the Cy Young last year. That did not cash.
Didn't hit, but he's good.
He's really good.
I like Reagans.
Another strikeout lefty. He'd be coming off an injury.
It's all right.
But the Royals are on both these lists. So let's kind of combine the reports here. Passan thinks it's likely, as likely Duran or Abreu could move. And maybe because they're overvaluing Duran, it's more likely they'd move Abreu. Cotillo made the point yesterday at Mass Live. He's like, they should consider Rafaela on top of it. If teams are hitting a bit of a wall and they're saying, well, we like Abreu, you're overvaluing Duran, maybe it's worth expanding your horizon and looking at Rafaela. I'd want to trade him the least out of those three.
Definitely the least.
But maybe it's worth that. We know one of these guys is moving. Is part of the reason it hasn't happened yet, Keith, because they're overvaluing Duran, and is that the right approach?
Yeah, I don't want to just give him away. Right? Like, I'm done with him. I'm ready for him to go somewhere else. If you get a lot more for Willie or Abreu, though, I would do that. Right? I'm not, like, married to Abreu or I'm right. like, you have to get rid of Duran.
If the Royals are, like, no on Duran for Cole Reagans.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in.
we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Yeah, but they're like, they say yes on Abreu.
I'd do that in a second.
I also would do that.
It does feel, though, that like Duran might be kind of done here, or is it maybe just how badly the playoffs went and how the end of the season went? He's no longer your leadoff hitter. He's pretty shaky in the field, especially compared to Rafaela and Abreu. There's a log jam there. I don't think, even at the trade deadline, we were wondering if they're going to deal one of those guys. They didn't, which was smart because, you know, Roman Anthony got hurt. But I don't know if you can go into a full season with that. And Alex Cora just jumbling four everyday outfielders for three spots. And I don't think you can really do that.
No one's going to be happy.
No. So I think they have to move on from one of those guys. I am glad, though, that Abreu is at least on that list because it seemed like for months it was like Duran. Like they're gonna move on. Yeah. Great band.
Nice.
They were hungry like the wolf to move on from Jaren. But yeah, get whatever the best you can get. I didn't want to trade him for prospects, though, at the deadline. So I get why they would value him. He's 2 years removed from top 10 MVP votes.
Yeah, something Rafael Devers
has never done.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard that, but he's never done
that. That's my favorite stat. My stat of the year every year until he's able to actually be a top 10 MVP. But no, I like that. The Tristan Casas part of it is obviously you're selling so low that neither one of us would cry if he was gone. But it almost feels like if you could get, obviously, like Tarek Skubal is like the piece. But if Duran and Casas help get you him, then you're like, all right, great. So no matter how Detroit views him, you're obviously going to have to include a lot of like stud minor leaguers. But if the two like major leaguers that go and you convince yourself that like, oh, they obviously value those guys really high because he was able to then get this massive return of Skubal, then I would do that. But if it's just trading Casas for another broken down player somewhere else or another like single A player, I'd be like, I guess you just keep him.
So we mentioned Cole Reagans, and I would deal either of those guys for him. I would rather deal Duran.
But where are you on Rafaela real quick? I don't think I'd really be in any hurry to trade him.
No, I would want to trade him the least, but again, you're telling me I could get someone like Cole Reagans, who was an all-star 2 years ago, fourth in the Cy Young, and then he was hurt last year. And in fairness, he was not pitching great before he got hurt. But he's another strikeout lefty. He went 3.14 ERA. He had 223 strikeouts in 186 innings. For the Royals in 2024, he feels a bit like Crochet. Now, he's not the same build. He's 6'4", 190. But he feels a bit like Crochet, where he was a reliever. He transitioned to starter. He was awesome. He hasn't really done it and proved the track record yet.
A lot of team control with him, different than some of these other guys.
I think he would be worth trading really any of those outfielders for, but I would prioritize it Duran, followed by Abreu, followed by Rafaela last, although Spear also reported they want a righty bat. What about Campbell? Would you throw Campbell in a deal for him?
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
I would rather trade Campbell than Rafaela.
So, me too.
Yeah.
I would probably... Well, I'd probably rather trade Duran than Campbell, actually. I take that back. But Campbell, if the Royals valued him and that's a righty bat they're looking for and he's locked up long-term for a small market team, that would be the kind of deal I would do.
No, there's a lot of guys that... I mean, that's sort of the thing about the last few years, and even Chaim Bloom deserves some credit for this, I guess. Like, starting to stock the farm system. They have a lot of young guys, and they can't all play. Even, like, you get into, like, the password and some of the other guys they have currently in the minor leagues. Where are they going to play? And also, depending on what you do in free agency, too. Like, we'll get into those guys, but, like, Bregman, Alonso, whatever, Schwarber, like all these guys, that also, there's another spot. So, like, where are you going to even play some of these guys? So, if you're able to move on from one, two, or three of them and get someone like Cole Reagans, I'm in on that.
Well, and Campbell, I think the second base dream is dead. He's just an outfielder. So, right, where
is
he?
Another outfielder.
Where does he even fit in the big picture? All right, so those are some trade away candidates. The trade fours.
Yep.
There are two that I find very, very interesting. There's a third name that I find less interesting.
All right.
Tarek Skubal, the number one trade candidate on Passan's list, although he says 10% he moves.
It's okay.
The teams he could move to, Keith, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Orioles, the Yankees, the Boston Red Sox.
Ooh, yes, sir.
And the Giants. That's the order he listed them in.
Right.
It's not alphabetical. I don't know if he's kind of handicapping it or not.
Yeah.
10% chance he moves. The Red Sox are on his list. Red Sox are also on the list for, and they're the first name mentioned here, Joe Ryan. 50-50 chance he moves, according to Passan. Red Sox, Mets, Orioles, Rangers, Giants, Angels, in that order.
All right. I mean, if you get one of those two guys, you're really cooking with gas. It goes back to our conversation when they acquired Sonny Gray. Like, I like the Sonny Gray move a lot more if they get even another guy. If it's just Sonny Gray, all right, you know, Bale's going to have a really good year. You know, Connelly Early's going to have a really good year, whatever it is. So if they can get one of those two guys, I know the Joe Ryan conversation has been going on forever. People might even be sick of it. We were talking about it during the whole deadline, after the deadline, start of the offseason, and it continues. But yeah, I'd be in favor of either one. Now, one, I don't think they're close, though, in like how good they are. And I know that's not a hot take. Tarek Skubal is like leaps and bounds better than Ryan.
Said, there's like three elite pitchers, and you would have two of them if you had Skubal and Crochet.
And that's why
Ryan's a really good number two. I don't even know if he's not a number one.
So that's why, like, when you're talking about trade packages, for example, Tarek Skubal, I mean, assuming you're holding on to Roman Anthony and Garrett Crochet, which you would be, I think everybody is available. Whereas with Joe Ryan, I don't want to go nuts. Like, I'd make a very competitive trade offer for him, and then I'd sign him to whatever he wants once you get him. But, like, I'm not looking at the Twins and saying, pick your five favorite guys in our system. Like, I'm not doing that. Whereas with Skubal, you're like, go ahead. Unload. Take all the players you want.
I agree with that, too. And the Twitch chat is saying, well, they're not going to go into the luxury tax, or they're not going to go into the second level of the luxury tax, but they're going to turn around and trade for Skubal and pay him? Maybe not. I mean, maybe he's a rental and you play that one out. And
so that's the dangerous game with him.
He's a Boris guy, right?
Yeah. He's going to hit free agency. But again, they also did this in a much smaller scale, but they did it with Bregman. They brought in Bregman and they were committed for 3 years, but they knew that he might be a one and done. They even traded away Devers knowing that he might be a one and done. So I think with Skubal, I mean, the Sonny Gray move is very much, well, clearly it's for 2026. That's it. Skubal, now this also gets into your back and forth with Detroit, and you're like, hey, if we can't sign him, we're not going to throw you Peyton Tolley and Connelly Early and this guy and that guy. Like, he might walk. So maybe you don't have to give up as much. You still have to have a very, very, very competitive offer. But that would be in line with going for it in 2026 and then seeing where the chips fall. If he's awesome and loves Boston, all right. Make him an offer. You had $75 million or whatever it was committed to Devers and Bregman for this year. That was on the book. You were ready to pay that, and now that's all gone. Or potentially with Bregman, it's gone.
I mean, if you don't think the Red Sox are on the short list for Skubal, then take it up with Passan. I'm just reading what he wrote. But he's got the Red Sox on the short list.
I choose to view this positively because he puts only a 10% chance on Skubal. But then he says, like, Duran and Abreu are 50%. But what he's doing there is he's kind of, like, hedging his bet because there's probably a 100% chance one of those guys is gone. Right? Yep. Just add that number. So maybe the 10% chance is a little bit low. Maybe it's better.
617-779-7937. The other name on the list is a trade target that did not excite me at all is Brendan Donovan from the Cardinals.
Brendan Donovan. Call Heim Bloom up again.
770.
Get another deal done.
This is why I assume that one's not going to happen with the Red Sox because they've already dealt with the Cardinals once. And you probably could have rolled it into a larger deal.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, he's like a 10-homer, 280 guy on the infield. I'm not saying that's worthless, but
10 big flies?
Last year, 10.
10 ding-dongs?
14 the year prior, Keith.
Yeah, it's cooling off.
11 the year before that.
He's consistent.
He's going to sock in maybe 10 dingers.
And he could be the random player 10 years from now.
617-779-7937. More your feedback coming up. Hashtag Dork Minute, 1145. Pure Hoops with Terp. At high noon and on the way next, right after Trending with Billy Lanny. Would you rather's on a Wednesday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.